Purim. Purim is the Yom Tov of Nes Nister. Purim is the Yom Tov of Nes Nister. Nes Nister is where Hashem intervenes on behalf of Am Yisrael while working within the laws of nature. On Pesach, Hashem did Nes Nigla, supernatural miracles. Everything's a miracle. Kriyas Yamsuf, all the makos. On Purim, there are no supernatural events in the simple pshat of the Megillah. Nothing supernatural happens in the simple pshat of the Megillah. It's all working within the laws of nature. That's what the word Nes Nister means, that Hashem is, in a sense, hidden behind the laws of nature. Oh, fabulous, fabulous. Nes Nister, hidden behind the laws of nature. Now, that's Nes Nister. You read the whole Megillah, there are no miracles. This is the simple pshat which the Rishonim give, why Hashem's name is not mentioned in the Megillah. It's very strange. Why is Hashem's name not in the Megillah? That's the whole point. In the Megillah, although Hashem is there, you don't see Hashem in a frontal way. Where is Hashem in the Megillah? He is in between the lines. This, of course, is a contrast to the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, which is about Pesach and Yetzias Mitzrayim, who's basically missing from the Haggadah? Moshe, which is, he's only mentioned once tangentially. Why? Because on Pesach, the theme is Nes Nigla, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Man's involvement is like tangential. So we play down the role of Moshe to show it's all from Hashem. So that's the Gruff points out. It's a striking contrast. The Megillah is all man, and we barely mention Hashem. The Haggadah is Hashem, Hashem, we barely mention Moshe. The Megillah is Nes Nister, and the Haggadah is Nes Nigla. Purim is Nes Nister. The name of the Megillah is called Megillas Esther. The Sfarim say, Megale Seser, reveal that which is hidden. Megillas Esther, it's in the footnotes. Megale Seser, reveal that which is hidden. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lametes, says, where is there a hint for Esther in the Torah? And it quotes the Pasuk, Anochi Haster Astir Panai. I will hide myself. So the Gra points out, you must learn, if you're going to learn, the Gra's Perush on the Megillah. A fabulous Perush. The Gra points out at the beginning of his Perush on the Megillah that it fits perfectly. What is the word in the Torah which is a hint for Esther in the Megillah? A word that says, Hashem says, I will hide myself. I am hidden. Exactly. That's what Purim's all about. Nes Nister, Hashem is hidden within the rules of nature. Now, what is a Nes Nister? A Nes Nister means either different events fit together to save Am Yisrael. An event over here, an event over there. Each event is its own, on its own is not so exciting, but together it fits. That's one type of Nes Nister. Or something ironic, unexpected happens. Not miraculous, but totally unexpected happens to save Am Yisrael. That is a Nes Nister. Or when, like, something turns around. Haman tries to do X, and it boomerangs back at him, as we'll see. These are all types of Nes Nister. Today we're going to go... Now, we will discuss Nes Nister at greater length a different time. Today we're going to go through the Megillah, and we'll discuss Nes Nisters in the Megillah. This sheet in front of you, this is a list of psukim, number 1 through 13. This second, third, and fourth sheet, I have Xerox, the Makoros I'm going to be quoting, if you want to sort of read them inside on your own. That's what we're going to be going through right now as we go through the Megillah. We'll go one at a time. Number one. We'll start with number two. Number two. V'hashisya kados eino nes. No one was forced to do anything at the party. No force. The theme of the party was freedom. Do your own thing. Now, by the way, the two Mefarshim who work on Nes Nister the most in the Megillah are the Gra and the Malbim. So between now and Purim, either learn the Gra or the Malbim, and they're fabulous. There's a book called Turnabout, which is written in English based on the Malbim's pshat in the Megillah. So you can learn the Gra, you can learn the Malbim, or learn Turnabout. There's another book which you have to get before, you have to see before, I'll bring it in, it's called Purim Spiel. I'll show you, it's like a children's book, but it's a very heavy, deep children's So, the theme of the party is Ein Ones. What does Ones mean? Force. No one's forced to do anything. Do your own thing. Isn't it ironic that at the party, where the theme is do your own thing, there is one person who is demanded to do something against her will. Who is it? The second most powerful person in the country, Vashti. That's ironic. The Gra says that's a Nes Nister. The theme of the party is freedom, freedom, freedom. The theme of the party is freedom, freedom, freedom. And suddenly one person who happens to be the queen, oh, you have to come and show yourself and without any clothing. That's a Nes Nister. Something unexpected. Something doesn't seem to fit. It's not a miracle. Is it Kriya Samsu? Is it Kriya Samsu? No, it's not a miracle. But it's crucial to save Am Yisrael. Hashem wanted Vashti dead, but in a Nes Nister type way. Something ironic happens. It's all part of the plan. That's the Gra, number one. Number two. Number four on the sheet. This next one is so good. It's the Gra and the Malbim. Yetzei Dvar Malchus Milufanav. Now let's get our bearings straight. Vashti says no to the king. She's insubordinate. The king says, okay, I have to decide what to do. What does the king do? What does he do? He calls his advisors together. Who gives the advice? Memuchan. Chazal said Memuchan was Haman. Haman says she has to be killed. But then there's a phrase, Yetzei Dvar Malchus Milufanav. Let the word of the king come out from the king himself. It's a very strange phrase. The Gra and the Malbim say, guys, this is fabulous. Listen to this. Haman added something into his advice to the king. He said, you know, it's not enough to kill Vashti. It's not enough. You have to show you're the boss. Haman wanted to ingratiate himself with the king. Haman told the king to take more power for himself. Yetzei Dvar Malchus Milufanav, let the king decide for himself. That until now in Persia, the rule was, if there was a court case where the king was involved, the king would have to do what? He would have to do what? Call his advisors together. How do you know? How do you know? Because what did he do? He called his advisors together. But from now on, let the king decide for himself. Show the world you're the boss. No one can tell you what to do. So Haman convinced Ahasuerus to change the law of the land, that from now on, Ahasuerus can decide for himself. He doesn't have to ask his advisors. This happened in the first perek in the third year of his reign. 9 years later, 9 years later is when the parties happened. Don't forget this. It takes around a half hour to read the Megillah, but the Megillah spans 9 years. The party where Esther said to Ahasuerus, Haman's the bad guy, he has to be killed, was 9 years later. What happened at that point? Esther says, Haman's the bad guy. Ahasuerus is angry. And what does Ahasuerus say at the end? Kill him. What does Ahasuerus not do? He doesn't call his advisors together. The Gra says, had he called his advisors, maybe he could have bribed them. Haman could have bribed them. Maybe the king would have calmed down. So Haman killed himself. Haman killed himself. When Haman gave that advice in the third year of the kingdom, that little piece of advice came back to haunt Haman 9 years later. This is the incredible Nes Nister. Haman killed himself. Let me explain this. If you were writing a newspaper article in the Shushan Times, in the third year of the king decides to kill Vashti. Front page. Right, front page. The king takes more honor, more power for himself. He'll decide things on his own. It was like page 3 or 4. On the federal page of the newspaper. That newspaper article, 9 years later, was so old, you couldn't find it in the library. You know where you find it? In the microfilm section. You know, you go to the microfilm, and you 9 years later, this is Nes Nister. It all fits together. That phrase, Yetzei Dvar Malchus Milufanav, was forgotten about. It was 9 years old. You couldn't get in the newspaper. Even if you Googled it, you couldn't find it. But that was crucial for the story to unfold. That is a classic Neis Nister. That's the Grah. That's the Malbim. That's the Grah, that's the Malbim. Next. Haman killed himself. He'll do it again later. It's unbelievable. Did Haman have to say that? No. What was the main part of his advice? What was the main part? Kill Vashti. This he threw in as a canary. He wanted to ingratiate himself, become, you know, the king should like him more. So that little thing he threw in, had he not said it, what would have happened later? Maybe Haman would have bribed the advisors. Maybe the king would have calmed down in the time it took to call the advisors together. Haman killed himself. No, nothing miraculous. Next. Number five. The first letter was sent out. The letter was sent out that said, the king is upset. Vashti isn't going to be killed. And the letter said, every man should be the head, the master of his home. So the letter said, it's in the Megillah. The king sent out a letter that every person is a master of his home. Every man is a master of his home. The Gemara says that this letter was crucial for saving Am Yisrael. Why? The Gemara says that the people took this as obvious. Why? Of course the men are the heads of the house. The Gemara says even a weaver, this is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Beis and Beis, even a weaver is the head of his house. Of course he's the master of his house. So the Gemara says that the people, when they saw this letter, thought Achashverosh is foolish. He sends out foolish letters. Why is that important? Because the next letter that went out said what? Kill the Jews on Yud Gimel Adar. And the Gemara says that the people would have been zrizim. They would have jumped to the Goyim would have been so excited to kill, they would have jumped earlier. But because of this first letter, they didn't take the second letter so seriously. They say, we'll wait till later. That's amazing. Again, Achashverosh sends out a letter, kill the Jews, Yud Gimel Adar. The Goyim back then would have been happy to kill us earlier. The Gemara says they would have been zrizim and jumped earlier to kill us. Why did they wait till Yud Gimel Adar, like the letter said? Because he said, you know, the king's letters are foolish. Maybe there's a mistake here or something. Why are the king's letters foolish? Because he sent out a letter saying, every man is the master of his home. Which at that time was, of course, every man's the master. That's a ridiculous thing to... What? There's a new edict of the king. Every man's the master... Of course, every man's the master of his home. So the Gemara says that the letter mentioned at the end of Perek Aleph is part of the Neis Nister. Every word of the Megillah is part of the Neis Nister. Next, number six... Esther, the king says, I have to have a new queen. So all the women are lined up, and they each have one night with the king. He's going to choose his favorite what? The favorite woman for, right? Favorite one. The Megillah tells you the date when Esther's turn came. Every date in the Megillah. Look inside, number six. Look inside, number six. No, the other, yeah, it's number six. Vatilakach Esther, hu chodesh teves. Esther was chosen in Teves. When is Teves? The winter. Esther's turn came in the winter. This is an Neis Nister. Listen carefully. The Gemara says it's cold in the winter. And therefore, the Gemara says, Nehne guf min haguf. Since it was the cold in the winter, Achashverosh would get more hana'ah out of having Esther near him. Because it's cold, so she'll warm him up. So therefore he would like her more because it was the winter. The Gra adds on, in the winter the nights are longer. So Esther had more time with Achashverosh. So the Gemara says that was part of the Neis. The fact that Esther's turn came out coincidentally in the winter is part of the Neis. That's the Neis Nister. Hashem wants Esther to be the queen, but she's going to be the queen with no miracles. It's all quote-unquote coincidental. Let me explain this. Hashem could have made Esther the queen b'derech Neis Nigla. What would an example be of Hashem making her the queen b'derech Neis Nigla? All the women of Shushan could have died, have gotten sick. Right? No. What's Purim all about? Neis Nister. Hashem's working within the laws of nature. So with no miracles, Hashem, in a sense, stacks the deck that Esther should be chosen. It's the winter, it's cold, the nights are longer. Let me give you a mashal. An example of a Neis Nigla for choosing a wife or choosing someone is, of course, Mary Poppins. And Mary Poppins, they have to choose a new nanny. Now what happens? There's a long row of nannies waiting in line to be interviewed. They're all dressed in black. And they all have sad faces, mean-looking faces. No one wants these mean, evil-looking women to be their nannies. And they're waiting in line to be interviewed. And what happens? What happens in Mary Poppins? A wind comes and literally blows them away. And they're all gone. And when they open the door, Mary Poppins is there. What is the two-word description of that section of the movie? Nes Nigla. That's a Nes Nigla. Hashem could have had a wind come and blow away all the women of Shushan, but no, Nes Nister. Do it in the winter when it's colder and the nights are... Is that fabulous? That's fabulous. This is great. Number six. Nes Nister. The point is, Hashem is pulling the strings. Hashem is orchestrating events that Esther will become queen. But Hashem's orchestrating the events in a way that there's no miracles. Hashem's clearly one of the fact that it coincidentally fell out in Teves was not a coincidence. It's cold in Teves. Therefore, Esther has a better chance of being chosen naturally, the Gemara says, because when it's cold, he'll get more hanah from her. So when he's comparing all the women, he'll think of her more highly because it's cold. It's the winter, the nights are longer. When he's comparing her to all the women, he'll think of her more highly because she had more time to spend with him, and he'll have a better, and he'll think more highly of Esther. That's Nes Nister. Next. 6a. 6a is a general Nes Nister. The entire first two prakim of the Megillah are setting up the salvation of Am Yisrael. Watch this. Ahasuerus has a party. Vashti gets in trouble. Vashti's killed. Esther becomes queen. Esther appoints Mordechai as an advisor, and therefore, where is Mordechai? Therefore, where is Mordechai? In the palace, in the king's, on the grounds of the palace. He overhears Bigthan and Zeresh. He saves the king's life. It's written down and forgotten about. That is what's happening in the first two prakim of the Megillah. Each of those events, nothing is a miracle. The king has a party. Page 3 of the newspaper. Vashti says no. Probably page 1. Vashti is killed. Again, probably page 1. The king looks for new women to be chosen to become queen. Page 3, page 6. And then Esther is chosen as queen. She appoints Mordechai as an advisor. He overhears them plotting. Guys, that's Nes Nister. Every one event in the Megillah leads to another. None is miraculous, but each one adds up to save Am Yisrael. And again, just number 7, you have to look in the Malbim, look at number 7, Vayichtov Vasefer, it's written down and forgotten about. Not everything in the world is written down. This was written down and forgotten. That's crucial. The point was to be written down and forgotten about. And this is what Chazal mean at the beginning of the third parak of the Megillah. The Pasuk writes, Achar Dvarim Ha'ela. And the Gemara says in Megillah, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Achar Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refu Lemako. Now that we've had the first two prakim, now that the table's been set to save Am Yisrael, then Haman rises to power. First, Hashem plans everything out in advance. Perek Rishon, Perek Sheni, the entire base of the Yeshua of Am Yisrael is ready, and only then does Haman come to power. That's the structure of the Megillah. Next, number 8. In Perek Gimel, Haman comes to power. Haman is upset with Mordechai, and he wants to kill the Jews. And he throws lots. It says he draws lots when? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So he's drawing lots in Nisan. When do the lots fall out? In Adar, 11 and a half months later. The Ibn Ezra and the Malbim point out as follows. If you were Haman, and you're throwing dice on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when would you want the dice to say to kill the Jews? Give me a date.
The next day,
Beis Nisan. You want Beis Nisan. When does it fall out? 11 and a half months later. Just by chance. Not by chance, obviously. They point out, Am Yisrael needed time to build up a defense. They needed time. So Hashem worked it out that the date of the dates of the dice fell out 11 months later. That gave us more of a chance to work up a defense. B'derech HaTeva,
had the dice said Gimel Nisan, it would have been very hard to save Am Yisrael. Hashem, we have 11 months, plenty, the most, 11 and a half months, plenty of, that's an Eis Nisan.
Haman was Amalek. Amalek believes in Mikra. Roll the dice, whatever the dice say, I'm going to do. Hashem says, I'm going to take your dice, and I'm going to make them not be Mikra. It looks like Mikra, but it's not. They're going to fall out Yud Gimel Adar, giving us the most time to defend ourselves. That's crucial. The poor, when Haman drew the lots, was an Iker part of the Purim story. He based himself on fate. Whatever, everything's by chance. He was hoping for 2 days later. No. It was 11 months later. Hashem took the dice and said, no, those dice will work for me. Next. Number 9. Haman's angry. He wants to kill Mordechai. And he decides to build a tree. How tall? 50 amos tall. Look at number 9. Perikei Pasuk Yudalit. Yasu Eitz Gavoa Chamishim Amah. 50 amos tall. The Grun, the Malbim say, is not a coincidence. Again, Haman kills himself. What happens at the second party? Esther says to Achashverosh, Haman's the bad guy. And Achashverosh is upset. What does Harvona do? Harvona says, oh, and Achashverosh, there's the tree. The Gra says, what tree? There's the tree that what? That this Haman set up to kill Mordechai, whom you like. So when the king saw the tree, that clinched Haman's fate. The Gra says, Eino Dome, Shmia Liriya. Seeing the tree was so strong in Achashverosh's eyes, that's it, that clinched it. Seeing the tree clinched Haman's fate. So Haman built a very tall tree because he wanted to kill Mordechai. The fact that the tree was so tall, coincidentally, quote-unquote, helped clinch Haman's demise, that when Achashverosh saw the tree, I have to kill Haman. That's fabulous. A second time, Haman kills himself. No, nothing miraculous. It's all by chance. 50, Nes Nister. That's the Megillah. That's Megalas Eis. Now, number 10. Now, guys, number 10. Now, listen, everyone. Listen up carefully. I have to understand what's happening here. And this is, and again, I want to give you this is the heart of Purim. The next 10 minutes is the heart of Purim. Paragvav Pasuk Aleph. The king can't sleep. Okay? Now, what night was that? That was the night between the two parties. At the first party, Esther and Haman and Achashverosh are there. And Achashverosh says to Esther, what do you want? Another party tomorrow. So it's the night between the two parties. Okay? The date, according to most Mefarshim, you'll see, is Lel Tes Zayin Nisan. It's the night between the two, the night of the second Seder. Now listen carefully. We're going to discuss now that day, that night and the following day. On that night, the king can't sleep. I'm sorry. So that night, what's happening on that night in Haman's life? You're Haman. What's your life like on Lel Tes Zayin Nisan? What's your life like, Lel Tes Zayin Nisan? You're Haman. Where are you holding in life? Good or no good? Good. Great. Haman is fabulously wealthy. He is fabulously powerful. He is the second most powerful person in the world. There's one little thing bothering him, Mordechai. The only problem in his life, he thinks Esther likes him. And Haman says, you know what? I'm going to kill Mordechai. So Haman is now walking to Achashverosh's house to kill Mordechai. He's walking over. You with me? That's what Haman's doing. Okay. On that night, coincidentally, the king can't sleep. That's a coincidence that the same night Haman's walking over, the king can't sleep. That's a small coincidence, about the size of Rhode Island. Okay. Then, the king can't sleep, and they decide to get him back to sleep by reading from one of his, you know, the king's diaries. Okay. That's a bigger coincidence, up to the size of New Jersey. Okay. Then, they read about an event that happened earlier, 7 years earlier. Okay, that's a big coincidence. They daft to read something seven. They could have read something from yesterday, 2 days ago, a week ago, 7 years. They open up the book. 7 years.
Now that's a big coincidence. I don't know. Now with the size, I don't know, Ohio. And they read about the fact that Mordechai had saved the king's life 7 years ago and had not been rewarded. Now think for a second. Think about the coincidence. Haman wants Mordechai killed. He's walking over to kill Mordechai. That night, they happen to read about something that Mordechai, who's about to die in 2 hours, Mordechai had saved the king's life and was forgotten about. That coincidence is a one in a quadzillion. That's the ultimate Nes Nister in the Megillah. That those two things happened the same night, that is a Nes Nister, a coincidence the size of Montana, I think maybe Texas, maybe even Alaska. That is the Nes Nister. Is that clear? Is that clear? That those two things happened at the same night is what Purim is all about. Haman could have decided to kill Mordechai any night of the year. He chose that night. The king could have not slept any night of the year. That night. They could have rewarded Mordechai originally, 7 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, tomorrow. The fact that they open up to that line in the book at the same night that Haman wants Mordechai killed is a needle in a haystack. That's a one in a quadrillion. That's the ultimate Nes Nister in the Megillah. In Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph is where you see where the entire Megillah comes together. Every event in Perek Aleph and Beis now comes to life to save Am Yisrael. And Chazal say it was to the second. Chazal say they were reading from the book and reading about Mordechai, and as they finished reading, Haman's at the door. Mibir Chatzer, Haman's at the door. So Hashem timed it literally to the second. The second that Haman was about to have Mordechai killed is the second that Achashverosh says, I want Mordechai rewarded. Those two events have nothing to do with each other. Why should these things happen the same night? That's the one in a quadrillion, and that's why when you read the Megillah, Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph, how do you read it? Balailahu nadadash nas hamelech. That's Hashem. They read Hashem. That's when Hashem wakes up. Hashem was always, are you guys aware of that? When you read the Megillah, that word Hamelech is read Hamelech, meaning Hashem's waking up. The minhag is Hamelech from Rosh Hashanah. Why? This is when the king wakes up. Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph is when Hashem wakes up. Hashem was always awake, but we didn't see it. When do we begin to see Hashem is awake in the Megillah? In Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph, when this quote-unquote coincidence happens, that the second Haman wants Mordechai killed is the second that the king wants Mordechai rewarded. That's the Nes Nister of the Megillah. Okay, that you have to know. That's the heart of Purim. Now, let's go on. Now let me just talk about what happens in Perek Vav and Zion. Perek Vav and Zion describe Haman on the Tes Zion Nisan. Tes Zion Nisan, Haman had a particularly rough day, and that is an understatement. That's an understatement. Here we go. Where is Haman holding when this day begins? It's Tes Zion Nisan, and you're Haman. Where are you holding? You're rich. You're powerful. Your life is nearly perfect. Nearly perfect. There's one thing bothering you, Mordechai. Imagine being the vice dictator of a country with lots of money and Swiss banks and all of the power in the world, and there's one person bothering you in life. That's who you are. That's Haman. And he's about to be killed. What happens on Tes Zion Nisan? He walks into Achashverosh, and Achashverosh says, yes, Haman, go and take Mordechai. Now, you have to understand, we know what's happening in this story. If you're Haman, you're saying, imagine you're Haman. This is the one thing bothering you in your whole life. He's about to die. He's going to be dead in 2 hours. And the king says, take Mordechai, lead him around. Oh my gosh, Mordechai, my enemy. Okay. Then, the Medrash says, Esther knew what was going on. Esther closed down all of the bathhouses and barber shops in Shushan, the Gemara says. So Haman had to bathe Mordechai personally. Haman had to give him a haircut personally. He was, personally. Then the Gemara says, Mordechai was so weak from the 3-day fast, he couldn't get up onto the horse. And Haman had to bend down. So Mordechai climbs on Haman to get down, to get onto the horse. So you're Haman. Your life is perfect, except for this one guy. And again, you have no clue what's happening. Suddenly Mordechai, and you bathe him, and you give him a bath, and the barber, and the climb. Then you're walking along. Now, Haman's daughter sees from way up one guy leading another. So she assumes that Haman's on the horse and Mordechai's in front. So she throws out, now in Israel they say sponge water, and it lands on his head. It wasn't sponge water. It was the bedpan, pardon the expression, of the apartment. It was the waste. She empties the bedpan on her father's head. He looks up, oh my gosh, she commits suicide in front of her father. This is Haman. Haman, 2 hours ago, is the most powerful person in the world, about to kill the one guy bothering him, and now 2 hours later, he's embarrassed in front of Mordechai, through the streets, his daughter's dead in front of him, he's covered, then it says, he goes home, he's talking to his family, they rushed him to the second party, he didn't have time to bathe, that's what the Chazal say. They rushed him to the, Vayavhiru, they rushed him to the second party, he comes to the second party,
totally filthy.
And at the second party, he's killed, and he ends up being hung on a tree. Now, if you were writing a movie, and you put this script into the movie, they'd say, send it back. It's too far-fetched. It's too far-fetched that the second most powerful person in the world could end up 6 hours later hanging from a tree is impossible without any miracles. That's Purim. That's Purim. Tes Zion Nisan in the Megillah. It's Perek Vav and Zion. That is Purim. No miracles. You're Haman. You're at the top of the world. Mamish. And then 6 hours later, hanging from a tree after the embarrassment of Mordechai, covered in that, the biggest bizayon, the biggest, what's the word for bizayon?
Disgrace
in the world. It's impossible to imagine. You couldn't have made this up without any miracles. That's Purim. That's Nes Nistar. Is that clear? Is that general description clear? So the last 15 minutes, that is the essence of the Megillah. That's the essence of Purim. The coincidence that Hashem couldn't sleep is the ultimate Nes Nistar in the Megillah. The fact that Haman goes from the peak of his power to fly on a tree a few hours later, he didn't know what was coming, with no miracles, is the essence of Purim, the essence of Nes Nistar as well. Okay. It's even better than that. Let's continue. Number 11. Odam medabrim imo. While they were talking to him. Now listen carefully. Haman comes home, right? He comes home. He's covered in what his daughter threw on him. His daughter is dead. He's so embarrassed from leading Mordechai through the streets. He starts talking to his advisors and his wife. Now, what do they say to him? Now, this is crucial. At the end of Perek Vav, what do his wife and advisors say? Listen what they say. They say, listen, im mizera ha'yudim, Mordechai, if he's a Jew, asher achiloso lim pol lefanav, you've begun falling, lo suchal lo kinafoti pol lefanav. You're going to fail. You're going to lose. Haman, you're going to lose. In essence, so what were they advising him to do? Back off. What does back off mean? Give me an exact, what would back off, at that point, what would back off mean to do? This is crucial. What would back off mean? Well, what can he do to back off now?
Yeah.
More specific. Take down the tree. That tree's still standing there. That's the tree. So the gist of their advice was, Haman, back down. Quick, get rid of that tree. Something's going on over there. Get rid of the gallows. Get rid of the gallows. Haman, get rid of the gallows. Now, had he taken it down, maybe in the end, he would have survived. What did we say before? That when Ahasuerus saw the tree, that clinched it. So what does the next word say? Odam midabrim imo. While they were talking, they barged in. Hashem timed it to the minute. Had the messengers come 1 minute later, maybe Haman would have agreed and taken the tree down. But listen carefully, because this is going to be perfect in 5 minutes. Haman,
Maybe take the tree down. Quick, come on, get the... As they were talking, as you'll see in a minute, they barge in. That's an ace nister. Had they come 5 minutes later, too late. The tree's down, maybe. The whole plan might have failed. That's, so the grub points out, Hashem timed it perfectly. They barged in as they were talking. Now, again, the next 5 minutes, guys, you can't understand what's happening here. The Gra here, there is one letter in the Megillah. It's a very difficult letter. The letter is the letter He. Perek Zion, Pasuk Tes. There's Charvona. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you Chiddush now about Charvona. Charvona, what happens? Achashverosh says, Esther says, Haman's the bad guy. Achashverosh is upset. He's angry. And then Charvona says, hey, Achashverosh, there's the tree. That this Haman guy wanted to kill Mordecai, your friend. And that clinched it. It says, Charvona, look at number 12. Vayomer Charvona, Echad min ha-sarisim. One of the sarisim, one of the advisors to the chamberlains to the king. Which letter is strange? The hey. What is hey? What is that? It's hey idea. What does the hey mean? One of the specific sarisim. So Charvona was one of the known sarisim. The letter hey means one of the known. Now wait a second. You don't find sarisim mentioned before. What sarisim? Which sarisim? What do you mean? One of the. It should have said Vayomer Charvona saris echad. One, you know, a saris. What do you mean? One of the sarisim. So look back. At Perek Vav, Pasuk Yudalid, it says in Perek Vav, Pasuk Yudalid, Odom v'dabrimimo, while Haman's family was talking to him, v'sarise ha-melech higiyu, the advisors, the chamberlains barged in. The Gra says, that's what the hay means. Charvona was one of those guys that barged in to take Haman to the second party. Now listen carefully. What I'm going to say now is a chiddush, and you're all going to say, whoa, and then I'll explain it. Okay. How did Charvona know about the tree? How did Charvona know that that tree was set aside for Mordechai? You know what the Gra says? Because he overheard the conversation. They're talking, they're saying, Haman, you know, Haman, maybe you should back out and take the tree down, Haman. Haman, take the tree down. Quick, Haman, come to the party. They barged in. In mid-sentence, Odom midzabrini yo, Odom midzabrini mo. While they were very good, while they were talking to him, in mid-sentence, the tree. That's how we do, and that's what it says. Hasarisim. How did Charvona know that tree was from Mordechai? Because coincidentally, quote unquote, Charvona happened to be one of the sarisim who barged in mid-sentence. Is that incredible? That explains the hay. That's why it says one of the sarisim. When it says in Perek Zion, one of the sarisim, the word the is referring back to the end of Perek Vav. One of the sarisim who barged in at the end of Perek Vav was Charvona, who happened to be next to the king. He knew about the tree. So you're saying, no, Rebbe, no. Let me ask you guys a question. How did Charvona know about the tree? What does the Gemara say? How did Charvona know about the tree? The Gemara says, what does the Gemara say? Ba'osa Eitzahaya. The Gemara seems to say that Charvona knew about the tree because Ba'osa Eitzahaya, he was part of the plot against Mordechai. Originally, he was with Haman, and he planned to kill Mordechai. Then, when he saw the tide was turning, he jumped on the bandwagon to kill Haman. The Gemara's language is, listen, Be'osa Eitzahaya. He was in that council. If you look in the standard Mefarshim, look in the English translation, they say, he was in the plot with Haman. That's how he knew about the tree. In the plot with Haman. The Gra says, I think the Gemara means something else. When the Gemara says, Osa Eitza, it doesn't mean that Charvona was in the plot to kill Haman. Osa Eitza means he happened to hear that council, that discussion, when he barged in. This is a fabulous chiddush. If you're at a Purim Suda, they're going to say, no. They're going to take out the Gemara, and if they're drunk, they're going to go like this, take out the Gemara, and they're Osa Eitza, they'll point to the Gemara, Osa Eitza. And you'll say, yes, yes. The Gra says, Otsa Eitza means he was in Ga'osan Sheshat. Let me read the Hebrew. Ga'osa Eitza Haya. He says here, Minayin Haya Yodei. How do you know about the tree? Ga'osa Sheshalach Achar Haman. That is a fabulous chiddush of the Gra, that a charvona happened to coincidentally be one of the guys that barged in. They barged in literally in mid-sentence before Haman would back out, and therefore a charvona overheard the conversation of the tree and knew about the tree. Finally, then we'll stop number 13. This is a macro Nes Nister. Nehemiah Perek Beis Pasuk Vav. Nehemiah was a Navi. Nehemiah was the butler for the king Artaxasta. That's what it says in Nehemiah Perek Beis. Chazal say Artaxasta was Daryavish. Alright. It says in Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, Nehemiah looks sad. The king says, Nehemiah, why the long face? Nehemiah says, I received a letter from Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim is in ruins. That's why I'm sad. The king says, don't worry, Nehemiah. I give you permission to go rebuild Yerushalayim and complete the Geula. The base of Midrash was built already, and now rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim, rebuild Yerushalayim, complete the Geula. Very nice. When the king says this thing to Nehemiah, look in the Pasuk, look in 13. The Hashegal Yosheves Etzlo. The Pasuk says the Shegal was sitting next to the king. The word Shegal is a very strange word. What's a Shegal? Different opinions what a Shegal is. So question one, what's a Shegal? Question two, who cares what a Shegal is? Why is that important in the Pasuk? So my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita quotes, the Malvim says in Nehemiah that the Shegal was the old queen, Queen Esther, Daryavesh. That Daryavesh was the son of Ahasuerus and Esther. Ahasuerus died. Esther hung around. She was in the palace. In England, they'd call Esther the queen mother, the queen mum, as they say. She was the mother of the king. The Pasuk is telling us that when Artaxasta / Daryavesh was deciding about allowing the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, Esther, his mother, was there. He was a kid. He was like 10 years old. And that's why it's mentioned. What's the point? She encouraged him to do it. So the entire Purim story, in a macro sense, leads to Esther being in a position to influence the king of the world to allow the full Geula to be completed. That's a Nes Nister. No miracles are happening. No miracles. Esther ends up being the mother of the king of the whole world, and when the decision is being made, should we allow the full Geula to happen? Should we allow to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim? Daryavesh says, he was on 10 years old, Mommy, what should I do? And Esther says, my dear son, I think you should let them rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. That's more or less what happened. That's Nes Nister. That's Purim. Nothing miraculous happening, no supernatural events, and Esther is in a position to influence the full Geula. Guys, this is Purim. This is Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther. There's much more than this, by the way. There's much more than this. These are some of the hidden miracles in the Megillah. Nes Nister in the Megillah. It all fits together. Haman kills himself. What I described in Paraglov, Paragzion, it's fabulous. These are all of the events in the Megillah. We're going to learn in the Lumda section of Purim that the Gemara says that you read the Megillah at night and during the day. Tosfo says the day reading is more important than the night reading. It's more Iker. We're going to learn that. Tosfo says the Kriya Bayom is more primary. Why? So we're going to see some of the Achronim say, you know why? Since the theme of Purim is Nes Nister, you only appreciate the Megillah fully once you get to the end. You don't appreciate the first two prakim until you get to the end. So the first time you read the Megillah, fine. Once you read it once,
When you read it tomorrow and you read the first two prakim, you don't see how it all fits together. Beautiful. We'll see the Mefarshim say that. That the one reason why the day reading is more ikir is because you appreciate the whole Megillah more once you've read it through once from beginning to end. Now, just to close, I heard from Rav Sachs, Shlita, Rebbe in YU, big time Chacham. He said as follows, and then we'll stop. We're going to have a whole shiur about this as well. Purim is also the Yom Tov of Matan Torah. The Gemara says that on Purim there was a national rededication to the Torah. It's called Kimu V'Kibru. The Gemara Shabbos Daf Peches. It's called Kimu V'Kibru. That on Purim there was a national rededication to the Torah. So Purim is considered a day of Kabbalah HaTorah. We're going to have a whole shiur about that. What's the connection between Neis Nister and Matan Torah? So Rav Sachs said very simple, very simple. If you really believe in Neis Nister, that means Hashem runs the world. Hashem governs world events. Hashem governs the events of my life. If I really believe that everything that I do, Hashem governs my life, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to be more careful to keep the Torah better. I know that how Hashem treats me is reflective of how I serve Hashem, do mitzvahs. If I really absorb this message, everything that happens in the world is from Hashem. All of the events of my life aren't random. Hashem's running the show. Oh my gosh, I better do what I can to do what I can to affect how Hashem's going to run my life. I better accept the Torah. I better do the mitzvahs better. So if you really believe in Neis Nister fully, that would lead naturally to a greater dedication to the Torah. And that's the link between Neis Nister and Kabbalah. So if Hashem governs everything, then clearly Hashem is governing my life as well. Since Hashem is governing my life, it makes sense that I should serve Him better, so I can deserve a happier, healthier, more successful life. So the Neis Nister naturally leads to Kabbalah HaTorah and a rededication to Matan Torah. This is what Purim is all about. You got it, guys? That's Neis Nister in the Megillah. You have it in front of you. If you didn't